And you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's 1 minute after 6 o'clock. The show must go on. It's time for Off the Wall. And very good evening, everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Manuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. And boy, what a Tuesday evening it is so far. Finn, welcome.
Oh, thanks, Manuel.
And Kyle from Seattle, are you there?
Hi. How are you doing?
Okay. We have you on the line because actually, up until a couple of moments ago, we thought that maybe you were the only link to the outside world. When I got here, I was told that we had no internet access. The whole campus was out. Because of the hurricane. Now, here's the crazy thing. The campus has power. It's like one of the few areas around that does. And but apparently no internet because a fiber the backbone was cut, is what I was told. But now I'm looking at Google News here. So apparently it's... Kyle, can you tell us if we're streaming?
Yeah, I actually read a New York Times article about Stony Brook having diverted funds from the internet, the broadband there, to pay for several metric tons of satin jockstraps.
Okay, all right. Let's not start right away with this. But we're here to help people tonight, not enrage them. We'll get to that. It's Hurricane Sandy or Nor'easter Sandy, whatever you want to call it. It's hit us hard. It hit us very, very hard yesterday, and I'm still reeling from it myself. I had quite an adventure just now, or a couple of hours ago, just trying to do basic things. Finn, did you come out here from Queens?
I did. Well, actually, I came out here earlier from work, but yeah, Queens got hit pretty hard too, and I'm only one block from the East River.
The East River was pretty nasty to us yesterday. What did it do to you?
Well, actually, it didn't do anything to our building specifically, but it did. The waves did breach Vernon Boulevard, which is right by where I live in Astoria, and it was pretty messy and caused some brief electrical fires. So it was pretty problematic.
Now, you know, you have to understand, I'm coming from a place with absolutely no connectivity, no power, and I'm just sort of learning things as I go along. What I heard was that 100 homes were lost in Rockaway or Breezy Point area last night due to a fire. And that's just inconceivable. I mean, all night long, where it was dark and quiet, I would hear the sounds of fire engines out here on the island. And it was scary thinking that houses are going up in the middle of all this when you can't be gotten to. Now, I understand from what I've been told that exploding transformers are one of the things that are really causing these fires, and that's something to really be careful of. I don't know how to battle something like that, but it's a frightening thought.
Right, and in Queens, anyway, we did have a lot of power lines, you know, taken down by trees, and then when they would come down, they sometimes would ignite a situation, and plus the water going into the basements, obviously, throughout Queens and Brooklyn specifically, did take out and caused many a fire, mm-hmm. Including the one you're discussing. I don't think it was actually, I think it's going to turn out to be close to 50 homes, not to belittle that number. It's okay. A horror story, but it was all caused by water coming into live electrical situations.
Well, that is something as far as getting facts out, because I hear so many different versions. I was listening to portable radio last night of an AM station, and they were doing a pretty good job reporting things, but occasionally the facts would just simply get very distorted. And also the advice. For one thing, they were talking about people who were being killed by trees crashing through their roofs, if you don't have enough to worry about.
Right.
So which is it? Do you stay downstairs where it's flooding, or do you go upstairs where the trees might be crashing through? It's a hard choice. But then after telling people that, they said that's another reason to stay inside your house. And, you know, I agree, you should stay inside your house. But after telling people that, you know, individuals are being crushed by trees crashing through their house, that's not the best argument for staying in your house.
Yeah, what I always love is when, you know, the reporters who were outside standing on a beach with falling trees or whatever the case may be are telling you, please stay inside.
Well, they do that to show you how dangerous it is. That's what they always say. They're aware of that criticism, and they always are trying to counter it. Now, Kyle, tell us what the rest of the country is saying about us, because we've been cut off.
Yeah, it's serious, man. It's actually pouring here, so everybody's sort of freaking out. It hasn't rained in a long time, and it's actually really pouring here on the West Coast. But people are talking about it. I mean, they're really worried. I've read a bunch of articles, and the kind of the numbers, the amount of people that are out, and that kind of thing, I think, are a big deal. I mean, there's all kinds of things going on. I read about this this huge fire in Queens. I think you remarked about that just
yes.
a second ago, and I think people's impressions are that they're concerned. They generally they don't know what this means, I guess, for them. I mean, are we going to have similar weather out here? Are we going to have wild earthquakes? I mean, what's going on with the weather that that you guys would be so hard hit? So I don't know. I think people are generally just sort of vigilant and trying to send good wishes. And there's a lot of people, I think, that have family and friends out in New York. And so I think that's tying up the phone system. I think a lot of people are calling either from New York or trying to call into the Eastern Seaboard there and get a hold of people just to know. Because you read all this stuff on the news and then you say, hell, I got family members or I got this guy, you know, or business or who knows what's going on. And you really want to get sort of the word on the street, make sure everybody's okay. So I think the phones are working overtime, especially since a lot of people are out of power out there. If it's the only thing you got that's working, you're going to check in with people. So I think generally everybody's just trying to, they're concerned and they want to, you know, lend a hand, I think. And they're definitely sending some positive energy and if not supplies and relief.
Yeah, well, I've gotten so many messages in one way or another from people around the world wanting to know that that things are okay. And it's frustrating because I can't even respond half the time. In fact, you called me this morning, and what I had to go through to get back, because I missed the call, I was just waking up, and that's the thing, you know, when you have no power, you wake up with the sun. So I'm waking up at this ungodly early hour. I didn't know who just rang my phone, so I actually used the thing I never used, *69, heard your number, called that number, got a fast busy. In fact, I was talking to you last night, and in the middle of conversations, I get a fast busy. It was like we were being cut off. And superseded with somebody more important, perhaps. I don't know. And then, I had to put a carrier access code. So if you have a long-distance issue, and it's weird because I was able to get through to New York and locally, but not to Seattle, you might want to try a carrier access code. AT&T's is 1010288. What you do is you dial that code before you dial 1 plus the long-distance number. You can also try MCI, 1010222. Sprint 1010333, I believe, various carrier access codes like that, and just alternate ways of routing phone calls. But I was also having trouble communicating with people with cell phones. The cell phone towers are down. Many of them are not working. Here on campus, yes, they're working, and that's when I finally got all the messages from people. But even that is very, very tied up many times, and it's hard to reach people. It's hard to get messages, send them out. So it's probably best to just convey the basics, let people know you're okay. But don't expect to be on the phone for very long because resources are stretched.
Hey, E?
Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to add something to what you were talking about with the landlines when we were trying to speak. The attempt I made to call you back was really interesting because I rang you several times, and I think it was about five or six rings, and then I just got a fast busy. So it's like there's not even any services. It goes into sort of an overloaded mode where it connects as much as it can, but the provisioning just isn't there, so it drops calls that have had enough time to say something, you know, and it just seems to kind of cue them to let everyone through in a certain at a certain pace, but you don't get a long call. You get enough to maybe get through, and then it moves on to the next person in the queue. But there were no services, so I couldn't get voicemail or anything, which typically I think you have configured and whatnot. So that was just interesting to note.
Yeah, you know, as with excuse me, as with 9/11, it's fascinating to see how technology holds up, how it fails. And I was driving around today. There were so many instances where, you know, I just couldn't stay in touch. Couldn't get the basic information out. And also seeing things start to slowly come back. And it is very, very slow. Most traffic lights are still out. I'd say probably 90% of the surrounding area has no power. However, in the last few hours, I have noticed additional areas that are being lit. In fact, if you're listening locally, a lot of Route 347 now has power. A lot of those businesses are open. There are a bunch of 24-hour stores of various sorts, places you can get gas. So that is starting to come back. That's all I know. That's as far as I ventured. Before that, it was very, very difficult. And, you know, just getting through the roads. I had, Kyle, let me tell you this adventure because I haven't told you this yet. And this is what happened where I was. You know about the gigantic tree that came crashing down on top of my house and caused some substantial damage, as well as opening up some sunlight now. So it'll be much brighter than it's been in the past. That was one thing. There were also numerous large trees that fell in back of my car, which meant that I'm not getting out of there anytime soon, not down the driveway anyway. However, as you recall, Kyle, we left the smart car, crippled as it is, in the garage. And I figured, you know, this would be a good opportunity to use the smart car to hobble over to get the van, the 2600 van, which is the vehicle I really need to be driving because it's it'll be able to deal with this. I can carry things in it. Fortunately, I was able to get the smart car out. I was able to maneuver around all the fallen trees and get out onto actual roads. Now, as you know, there are several issues with it. I believe the gears are kind of crippled. I've lost track of all the problems. Can you remember all of them?
Yeah, it's not engaging. It's not automatically shifting very well.
Was that it? There was something else.
It has this lurching thing, but sometimes it does fix itself. It's just a bit...
The overheating, that's what it is. It thinks it's overheating, and it's not.
Oh, yeah, the whole coolant thing. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Then
there's nothing quite like the purr of a diesel in an emergency, so at least that was probably reassuring.
Well, it was more like hissing than purring, but... Yeah, it was okay. But, you know, Kyle, I mentioned this to you a couple of weeks ago when I started the car. It's been sitting in the garage for a number of weeks because I vowed not to drive it until we take it up to Canada to get the thing fixed once and for all. And I commented to you that there was this mysterious dust inside the car, and I didn't know how it got there, you know, sitting in the garage, just all of a sudden appeared. When I got in the car this time, I noticed that there was a particularly focused amount of dust on the floor of the passenger side. I thought that was rather interesting. Then, as I was driving to get the van, the battery light came on in the car, and I started putting two and two together. The battery is underneath the passenger floor.
Oh, man, your battery's corroding.
My battery is corroding, and it's going upwards through the floor and spreading all kinds of sulfuric acid and dust or God knows what. But worst of all, I was basically trying to get to where the van was, and all kinds of lights are coming on the car, the ABS light, the amber warning light, the battery light. And I knew that, you know... If something happens, I'm going to get stuck. I'm going to be stranded on this road with all this mayhem going on. And to make everything worse, I was constantly being rerouted. I couldn't take a direct approach to where the van was. I had to keep making U-turns, going down side streets. And then people started being overly polite and letting everybody go in front of them. And that just made things take really, really long. And I was getting so frustrated. And then it happened, the three horizontal lines appearing on the screen, which meant that my gears were totally confused. They had no idea what gear they were in. And the only way to fix that is to turn the car off, have it reset, and turn it back on, which is good if your battery isn't failing. My battery, however, was failing, so it was a very nerve-wracking thing to have to do. There was no other way I could move the car again. So I turned it off, and it just barely started. I could tell the battery was really being taxed.
Well, we'll have to talk later. Sounds like you're in the market for a fresh battery, and I might be able to help you... choose a nice brand.
Well, to cut the story short, basically, I was able to hobble to where the van was and get the car stashed safely away. And I did try starting it again as soon as I did that, and it did not start. It did not turn over. So, yeah, that's done. So, but I have the van and mission accomplished. So, one of the little challenges that I had to go through, nothing compared to what a lot of people are going to. And, you know, folks, we want to hear what you've been going through. We're going to take some phone calls, as USB has been doing throughout this whole crisis. I think this is an example of how this place really is here when times get tough. You know, it's Kyle, were you able to determine if we were streaming?
I tried about a couple of minutes ago, and I'm going to try right now since you asked, and see if I can get any kind of sound here.
Okay.
And
you're welcome to stay for the show and take phone calls with us or listen online, whichever you prefer.
Oh, I'll hang out with you and try to be quiet. I'm working on some computers fixing stuff, so.
Okay, well, if anything goes wrong, try not to cuss too loudly.
Oh, right, yeah.
You do have a tendency to do that sometimes.
Understood. I'll just, never mind. Yeah, I'll just keep to myself.
Finn, any updates on things that you had to go through? Any challenges?
Well, I just have, I came out relatively early this morning from Queens. From the GCP to the LIE.
Grand Central Parkway to the Long Island Expressway.
For those of you unfamiliar with those acronyms there or whatever they are. Uh-huh.
What time did you come out?
I came out about 9 o'clock.
In the morning?
Yes.
Okay.
And I have to say that where there was some debris on the road, et cetera, the roads actually were very, very clear.
Okay. Yeah, they had all night to work on that.
Right.
There was a time though where every road in Nassau was closed.
That's correct.
That was the announcement they made. Every road in Nassau County is closed.
And I believe it's because they couldn't determine the amount of debris that was probably on the road.
Right.
But it was pretty good coming out, and yeah. So actually, the local roads, just as they are everywhere here on Long Island, are the more problematic because we still have trees down in many, many places. Right across roads and debris still falling.
Yes.
From trees, which is a very important thing to note. Don't assume because something was clear this morning, as you come around that bend, that it's going to be clear tonight.
No, it's you have to realize that these trees have withstood an incredible amount of stress. We had gusts over 90 miles an hour, and it wasn't even one of those that took down the large trees by me. But it weakens trees. It really does. So that even there wasn't that much rain, but there was enough to loosen the soil a bit. That combined with high winds can make even a mild gust make a tree finally give up and collapse.
And also you have the large branches which are just ready to come down anyway.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It just takes that little bit more to take them out.
And one of those clocking you on the head is a really bad day. And in fact, all seriousness, it was a fatal end for a number of people who really shouldn't have been out when this happened. And of course, you're not even safe inside your own house sometimes. So if you have large trees around your house in a situation like this, if you see anything that's weak that you think might be coming down, stay out of harm's way. Go to a part of your house where you you know that the tree won't penetrate if it does come down. And as soon as possible, have somebody look at the structural integrity of that tree to make sure it's not going to come down.
So, Emmanuel, let me ask you. We're, mm-hmm. we're giving all this sound advice that many people are giving. Were you outside last night?
No. I stood on a porch. I don't know if that counts. enclosed porch. And I wanted to feel the wind, obviously. And,
sure.
Hear the sound. I mean, the sound of the trees blowing in the wind is just an incredibly powerful sound. It sounds like a train, like that whole tornado thing people talk about, but this was sustained, constant. But I like to go out in things. I like to go out in blizzards. Kyle, you know that firsthand. I like to experience the whole thing, but this was serious, really serious, and maybe it was the tree coming down on the house that really woke me up.
That'll do it.
That certainly changed the mood of the cat too, because he was he was going out and looking, experiencing things until that happened, and then he was basically staying downstairs where it was safe because animals know. Animals have instincts. Well, the smart ones do anyway. But I had no desire to go around driving because in your car you're not safe if a tree comes down. You are not.
And sure.
Those trees are very heavy. Just to give you an example, what hit the house was not even a full tree. It was a branch. It was a part of it. And it hit it didn't even hit the house. It glanced the side of the house. But that was enough to take down part of the roof and to burst through a glass door, a screen door that had glass in it, and basically kick in a deadbolt door.
Sure.
It was amazing that it was able to do that.
People did not take trees as seriously as they should.
Yeah, it was a battering ram that got it on one shot. They didn't need to go back.
I was out at the East River last night, as a matter of fact. I did walk out. I did go to the East River a few times.
Wow. Listen, we're going to go into delay, and I want to hear about the East River in a second because it sounds like it's it's pretty furious. Certainly was last night. We're going to go into delay first, and then we'll open up the phone lines. 631-632-6901 is our phone number. If there's anything that you want to tell us that you've been going through or anything you want to ask, we'll try our best. We'll be back in just a couple of seconds.
This is Kate from the B-52s, and when I come to Stony Brook, I tune in to WUSB, known as WUSB 90.1 FM.
And here we are back, as we promised. So, Finn, about the East River, tell us.
Well, I went down there earlier in the day, like around 11 o'clock yesterday, and observed it. We actually have the what is supposedly the only extant beach in the city of New York.
What was that word again?
Extant.
Okay.
Existing.
Okay.
Currently around. It may not be now. which is a little stretch of beach in Astoria, in Queens. And there's like a seawall behind it. And we could see that, it was about 6 feet above that beach at that time, about 2 feet below the seawall height. And that was at 11 o'clock yesterday morning. It didn't specifically get a lot higher than that as a steady sit, but it did breach it several times with waves.
Mm-hmm.
So we were there down there for that into the up till about 9 o'clock last night at different times.
Now it's interesting too because I spend a lot of time in the city as well, and you somehow think that the city is going to not be hit as hard as we are out here on Long Island.
Right.
It was hit pretty hard. In fact, there are pictures. I have not seen them yet. Of and Kyle, I believe you're familiar with this area too. Alphabet City, like Avenue B, Avenue C,
yeah.
Under something like 6 feet of water from the East
what?
River. Yeah.
Kidding?
Yeah. So our friends at the Serbian place, I think they got flooded pretty badly.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So that and much of Manhattan. I'm not sure if power has been restored yet. I don't think it has. In much of Lower Manhattan. People aren't used to this kind of thing. Not in New York. This is the kind of thing that certain cities, New Orleans being one of them, is more prepared for flooding. We don't have flooding in Manhattan, not to this degree. And what we saw yesterday with the tides and with the hurricane and the nor'easter combined was simply epic. It's something that I don't think any of us have seen and probably never will see again, God willing. But I think overall we did pretty well as far as preparation, as far as taking the necessary steps. Shutting down the subway, the mass transit was the right move.
Mm-hmm.
I know Bloomberg gets an amount of flack for that, but no, that was the right call. And I think most of the representatives, the government people, were on top of things. The governors of all the states around here seem to really, be giving the right advice. That includes Christie, that includes Cuomo, people like that. And that's what they should be doing in a situation like this. We need them for reassurance and advice and things like that. Okay, and I see a phone call on hold. I'm not sure if that's for us, but I'm going to try and take it and see what happens. And I have to hit certain buttons. Hopefully I won't lose you, Kyle. I'm going to hit the conference button and all that, and let's see what happens.
You'll never lose me.
No, I hope not. Here we go. And that's not supposed to happen. Okay. You know why that happened? Hang on. How do I get back? Okay, I hit this button. Kyle, you there, right?
Oh, of course.
I'm sorry. Is that for us?
Apparently we had a call.
Okay. Well, they were on hold. I don't know how to get them when they're on hold. I can only get them when that's ringing. So future calls, let it ring. All right. Thank you. All right. You know what, Kyle? We're going to put you on hold for this one. We're going to take this call solo. We'll come back to you.
That's fine.
So don't be lonely on hold. We'll be right back.
Come
in. All right. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Emmanuel.
Hi, where are you calling from?
Center Reach.
Center Reach. How you making out over there?
I have electricity, but I don't have any computer hookup or cable.
Well, you're very lucky. Can we send some listeners to your house to take showers? Because a lot of people have been asking, we don't have any power. You're very lucky to have electricity. You really are.
I just wanted to say one thing here. I wanted to ask a question. I'm sorry about the tree on your house.
Go ahead. Ask your question. Did you lose your phone? Yeah, you lost his phone. Well, that was an interesting call, Kyle. This was somebody who had power and was in Center Reach and wanted to ask me a question, and apparently the government stepped in and cut him off at that point because we never found out what the question was. Kyle?
Did you bring Kyle back up?
Oh, I did. I have to say all that again, but I hit the button.
All right.
Oh, there you are. I just explained it all to you, Kyle, and for some reason, when I hit the button, it didn't take. I was saying the guy from Center Reach called. He has power, and he wanted to ask me a question, and that's when he got cut off, and we don't know why.
So he can always call again.
Or can he? If they got to him, they can't call again.
Oh,
I don't
goodness.
Know. 631-632-6901. This is Storm Central, I guess we can call ourselves now.
Yeah, we're talking to all of you out there about your Sandy experience, as they say. So give us a call. 631.
Sandy experience?
Oh, that's right. 631-632-6901. Give us a call. Let us know how things are going with you right now, what your feelings are about the response. 631-632-6901.
And, you know, Sandy is a boy's name as well as a girl's name. What they do is they alternate hurricane names, boy, girl, boy, girl. And I'm not sure which one this was. Does anybody know for sure? We're all saying it's a girl's name, but we did anybody check to see what R was and what T is going to be?
No.
Okay. Well, there you go. Oh, we have some phone calls. Hang on, Kyle. We're going to get these. And good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening. How's everybody doing over there?
We're doing good. You've got a very strong connection there.
Yeah, I hooked up an old fax phone line. I forgot I had it.
What kind of phone line?
The wireless again.
Wait, what kind of phone line is this?
I'm in Farmingdale. I have no electricity.
Okay.
There's a big tree down the road from me.
Uh-huh.
It's a 3-point road. And I'll tell you what, they blocked it off on both sides. And today there were three crews there, LIPA, Cable,
mm-hmm.
and I believe the phone company, because there were three different trucks.
Uh-huh.
And they did nothing but stand around and put two wires up. I'm like baffled by the whole thing.
Well, you know, you have to understand, they've got their methods as to what they're doing. There are all kinds of things we don't know that play into all this. As wires every place, they have to figure out which wires are which, what might be live, what might not be, and...
Well, I got nothing bad because we don't have any electricity here anywhere.
Yeah, no, I believe you, but...
The tree is still there. And
yeah.
They didn't even move. I don't understand who's responsible for the tree.
Well... I think what they're doing right now is assessing the situation.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, I take it this isn't a main road. Is that correct?
Oh, it's a main road. 3-point road between Mooney Pond and Horse Block.
Okay.
Use it.
Well, is there another way to get there? I mean, are people stranded?
You have to go around.
Yeah.
You can't go through.
I mean, just coming to campus tonight, the first two entrances were closed.
Uh-huh.
Actually, no, the first entrance wasn't closed, but... I didn't know that was the only one that was open. The next two were closed, so you had to turn around, and they made it as difficult as possible for you to turn around. And you know, you want to say, what are these idiots doing? What's going through their minds? But there must be something. There must be some reason for traffic flow. What they're trying to do. So you got to be patient, you know. And
I'm not being impatient, but they all left. They put up the wires to block it, but the tree is still there. I just found it odd that the tree is still here.
Well, how big a tree is it?
It's coming right across the road.
Yeah.
But it's not the whole tree.
Right.
It looks like the branch parts are across the road. I don't know where the rest of the tree is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if it's not something that a couple of neighbors can get together and move...
I guess not, because no one's attempted to do it yet.
Yeah, I would just sit tight. I'm sure it'll be gone tomorrow. It'll be clear at least.
I hope so.
Yeah, but you have no power, correct?
No.
Uh-huh. Well, it's amazing how the phones always work, though,
the
right?
The hard wires, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
They have to stop doing away with it.
Absolutely.
They have to keep them.
Uh-huh. All right, hey, good luck to you, and I'm sure that tree will be gone soon.
Thank you, and you be safe.
All right, you too. 631-632-6901. Kyle, you're still there, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
And you were able to hear all that.
I had another call, but I switched back over.
Oh, you had another call. Okay, well, you're getting as many calls as we are. Let's take another one. And good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, where are you calling from?
Setauket, New York.
How are you doing over there?
Not so well.
Now, really, I mean, come on. You're having fun somehow, right? It's an experience.
Or yesterday about 3:30, and we told that the power will be out from a good 3 to 7 days. Just that in our community, we took a quite a beating from the wind. So
oh, yes.
Really, we lost a lot of trees.
Yes.
And also, not only the trees, you know, we have seven ponds in our community. Our community is right next to Ward Millville High School.
I know it well, yes.
14 homes.
Yes.
And seven ponds, and the wind just seemed to channel down through the area, and we lost tremendous amount of weeping willows, big, beautiful trees, 60 to 80 feet tall.
They're always the first trees to go. I think they have shallow roots or something.
Yeah, the weeping willows, yeah. Beautiful, beautiful trees. Unfortunately, it's going to change the whole landscape of the community.
It does. It sure does. Kyle, do you remember the weeping willow on 9th Street in the village that fell during Irene?
No, I'm not familiar with that, no.
Yes, didn't they have bagpipes and a parade for it and everything?
Well, they had a funeral for the tree. It meant that much to the community. Trees really do matter to people, and you get very attached to them.
Right.
But
huge,
yeah.
Though. There's only two in that lot, and it was enormous.
Yeah, yeah. They do fall fairly easily in storms like that. So
channel through our community here, and it's, as we, like I said, we really took, you know, the buildings took, we had a lot of damage with shingles and siding.
Yeah.
And I'm very unfortunate because we do have a beautiful community, and it's just, like I said, it was going to change the whole landscape of the community, unfortunately.
Well,
we'll get through it one way or another, and then,
yeah.
Do you have any idea when, how long they estimate the power will be out?
Well, the robocall I got said 7 to 10 days or more.
I get the same call, right?
Yeah, so I'm taking them at their word for that, although I'm pleasantly surprised by what I'm seeing today. I didn't expect any lights to be coming back on, and I've seen a good amount in the area, the local area. I see at least 6 or 7 traffic lights that are on that weren't on a few hours ago.
I drove up 347 this afternoon to do some shopping and to find out what was open. Actually, I had to go to Lowe's, and I was pleasantly surprised that a number of the stores were open. It's just that hopefully, I guess that the we'll get through this as quickly as possible. But, you know, I have to say one thing is that the drivers in the road were pretty courteous.
Yes, very much.
I find that amazing.
It's incredible.
Even there were no traffic lights, folks stopped to let you get through the intersection.
I find it amazing that traffic seems to be moving more smoothly without traffic lights than with them, because people are keeping more of an eye out and they're being courteous.
Yes.
I was at, an intersection where the highway definitely had right-of-way over the crossroad, and people were stopping to let the crossroad go, and it was sort of like and every other car did that.
Yes, I really find that really nice, for New Yorkers. Usually we don't have that here, and then mm-hmm. I was pleasantly surprised driving this afternoon, and it was, all I can say to the folks out there, keep it up, because everybody's doing a great job.
Thank you so much for your call. You're
very welcome.
All right, take care. Spiny Norman.
Good morning.
How you doing? Say hi to Kyle in Seattle.
Hey, Kyle, what's up, man?
Nada.
Well, he didn't get a hurricane. We got a hurricane, so we're reeling from that. Spiny, are you okay? Did you trees fall?
I agree with the driving.
Get a ton of microphone. It's traditional.
We use these.
We use these at the radio station. Okay. You've been here for like 50 years. Come on.
I've never seen one of these before. Earlier this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Drivers were nice. Now they're back to their normal pinhead self.
Well, they turned they turned the traffic lights back on. That's why.
Well, I got people going around me and mm-hmm. on the curbs now. They're back to being Long Islanders again.
It does happen. It does happen. But, today I just wanted to go out and assess the situation and, figure out a way to plan the next few days, because it's gonna get kind of rough. I assume you have no power.
No power.
No power. Okay.
And I have a giant pine tree hanging in my wires that are attached to my house.
Oh, excellent.
So as soon as power comes back on, that tree will fall down and rip that power out of my head.
You should sell tickets to that. That sounds pretty amazing. Finn, did I ask you if you have power in Queens?
Yes, we do have power. We are, yes. Mm-hmm. The blocks around us do not, but our immediate area does.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah, we lost the great tragedy. We lost the internet briefly.
Yeah. I had a devil of a time getting on the internet. I don't understand why we have net access here. I thought that the entire campus was down, but now I see we can look at websites. I was trying on my laptop before to do this, and was having no success.
Are we sure these aren't old websites?
At least 40 dead, millions without power in Sandy's aftermath. It's pretty current.
Okay.
That's
this afternoon when I was here, they didn't have
that. They didn't have that? Oh, so this might be something new. The thing that annoyed me was that the campus gets its internet service from one source and doesn't permit people to install alternates like AT&T or whatever. A student can't get their own broadband in their room. And if they had done that, then obviously there'd be a way around it when it goes down like this. So you never put all your eggs in one basket. This is living proof, why that's a bad idea. Again, 631-632-6901. Our phone lines are open if people want to call in and share experiences. Kyle, is there anything that you've heard that we might not know about?
Related to Sandy specifically?
Yeah, or just anything else going on in the world that we might have missed.
Can you check?
Oh, man, you're putting me on the spot.
Well,
it is.
I mean, how you said people are very concerned over there with what's going on. And is it the top story every place in the country, not just here?
I guess it's on the radio, on national radio, of course, it's pretty much the only thing that's being talked about. I've watched news a little bit last night on local news and, of course, the national television news. And it's pretty much what everybody's talking about there. And a lot of people just around town, you know, whether it's just, you know, going to get lunch or wherever, people are talking about it. I was at the Museum of Communications this morning, and people were talking about it there and remarking at what's going on. And of course, the topic of telephones working or not, and utilities and stuff that came up, and it was interesting. I mean, people are really concerned, and it's pretty much the biggest story in the U.S. right now, because it's pretty unprecedented for New York City and that sort of thing. And I've been sort of skimming through news a bit.
They say it may be the biggest storm in history of our country, which I find incredible. We have a call coming in. Let's try and grab this call. And good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Good evening, Emmanuel. This is Bobson from Bulgaria.
You know, Bobson, we're not streaming, are we?
You're not streaming, and I was wondering how things are, but I talked to someone earlier during the Democracy Now, and they told me you're on air.
Okay. Well, so you're not listening to us, but you called in, and we thought maybe we'd hear from you today. Well, you can spread the news throughout Bulgaria and Eastern Europe that we're okay, but we took quite a whopping here, and it's hard. A lot of power is out, and a lot of utilities of all sorts are out, and it's gonna be a while before we get back on our feet again.
Well, all the best to everyone, and I hope everyone's doing fine and getting better. And if there's anything that you can think of that can be done from over here, let us know. Would you?
Just don't forget us. Please, let people know.
Well, I haven't. I've been trying to get a hold of you on a phone I have for you, but I only was getting answering machines.
Interesting. Yes. Yeah, I have no knowledge of that because a lot of things just aren't working. And I would like to know, and I'm sure we'll talk about this on Off the Hook tomorrow, assuming there's a radio station for us to be on tomorrow, because last I heard, BAI wasn't even on the air.
I don't know about there, but they're not streaming, and hear rumors, but unconfirmed.
Well, it's not a rumor. Basically, 120 Wall Street is right smack in the evacuation zone, and they had a lot of water coming
in. Wall Street.
Yeah, Wall Street was completely flooded, so, and they have no power down there, so it's not a mystery why they're off the air. So hopefully by tomorrow they'll be back, and we'll be talking about technology and what failed, what didn't fail, and various things like that.
Hey, E.
Yes, Kyle.
I did get an email from somebody, my good friend Willow, and she passed along an email to a bunch of people. There's a group called Humanity Road. I don't know much about them. I haven't looked into it, but they're trying to organize some switching equipment and access points to set up wireless for people to have some utility, like for free and across the city. And I think you told me, and so like projects like that, I think maybe we'll talk about if you're on air tomorrow, but
yes.
I definitely think you're going to see those kinds of relief, whether they're organized through the government or just through groups like grassroots kind of things, just trying to help get communications and some temporary stuff up. And I think you told me that, a news site? New York Times was suspending, you know, pay news so that everybody could get free news.
Yeah, the paywall is down.
Of things are going to be important, especially now I'm reading this recent article, I think it's Chicago Tribune, says 8.2 million households without power in 17 states as far west as Michigan.
Now, when you consider what 8.2 households means, how many people in a household, how many people actually are without power, it's probably something more like 20 or 30 million. Which is amazing. It's a fantastic number that I don't think has ever been well, except for massive blackouts that aren't storm-related, but as far as a storm-related issue, this sets records.
I was listening to a statement by New Jersey governor earlier today on TV. And
Chris
said
Christie,
yes. The amount of households without power today are twice as many as it was during Irene, which was...
Well, Irene was nothing compared to this, Bobson. Nothing at all.
Twice as bad this one is.
Yeah, this was much worse. It came much later in the season and had elements of a nor'easter as well as a hurricane. Bobson, we got to go. We got to take some more phone calls. But thanks for checking in. We appreciate it.
Sure. Greetings from all the IRC folk on the IRC network.
Yes, we kept...
Have a great evening and stay safe, all of you. And
thanks.
I'm happy to know things are getting better.
All right. You have a good night.
You too.
Yeah, so we were able to keep our network up, which is good, our machines and things like that. Let's try and get this other call. And good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Pretty good. Where are you calling from?
Where am I? Eastbound 347, I guess this is Mount Sinai.
Mount Sinai, okay. How are you doing out there?
I'm doing okay. Actually, they've got lights. I'm looking for a place to eat. Explain to me why all the liquor stores are open and... the diners are closed.
Okay, well, first of all, I can help you with this. To explain the liquor thing, what do you think people are going to want to do when they have no lights, no TV, no internet, and just darkness and maybe some trees to look at? a bottle of Jameson looks pretty good at a moment like that. But, okay, regardless, as far as diners...
That's what I did. I read a book with a flashlight.
Well, you could do that, too. Yes, absolutely. Or get a Kindle with a little light thing or whatever. But there's in Smithtown, the Millennium Diner was open this afternoon. I saw people in there. 347, Route 347, almost everything is open in the Port Jefferson area. So that's probably very closer to you. So if you just head to 347 and start driving down there, you'll see a lot of things open.
All right, I'll have to do that. Definitely. And by the way, I split over to the other station in the city, and they're out of service. I don't hear anything.
Yeah, that's the other problem I have is that I don't have a radio in the van, so I don't know what's going on. And the portal radio I'm listening to news updates back at the house doesn't get a lot of frequencies, and that's one of them it doesn't get. So I don't really know what's going on. It's really kind of hard to assess a situation without knowing that, but that's unfortunate. They're still not on. I would expect probably they'll be back in the next day or so as things get a little bit more normal.
Yeah, normally they're a little noisy out here, but this time I got nothing.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure maybe the T's are down or however they talk to the transmit. I'm not sure how they do it, but I'm sure that's down, so that might have a lot to do with it.
Well, you know, it's times like this when you can notice unusual events, like other radio stations that might come in on different frequencies or various phone oddities that might happen in situations of stress. So, you know, as part of the hacker community, what I like doing is just looking for the oddities and taking note of how things work and how things don't work and letting people know about that because these situations don't happen very often.
Okay, you just read my mind because whilst I was on hold right before I tuned into the other station, I was down by Shore Road, talking down by the water, and you guys disappeared, but a classical music station came in, DFQ. I don't know...
Yeah, those bastards. Yeah, those bastards from Connecticut that took our frequency up there.
It's a long story.
Yeah, it's a very long story. It's an unfortunate story, but unfortunately, they didn't get knocked off the air. Apparently, this year they got knocked off last year, and our signal went back to all the places it should have gone. And you know, chalk it up to state bureaucracy here for not battling this when they had the chance, or just an upstart station. It's not an upstart station. They have like 50 stations. But it's really annoying because they come in here on campus and, you know, this is hard turf here. I don't want to get into it, but that's nothing unusual, unfortunately.
I see. Yeah, well, I'll tell you, if you happen to live in that area, you know, quite on the water there, and you have a home receiver, a stereo, radio, whatever it is, without an outside antenna, and without a rotor, I guarantee that they're going to take Stony Brook out.
Yeah, oh, they do all the time. North of 25A, you can hardly get us because of that, and that is a real problem. That is a real problem, and you know, if a band of listeners wants to rent a bus and go up there and pick it, I'll drive. All right. So that's how I feel about that. Listen, thanks for the update. All right.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
All right. Take care. For the rest of you out there, please be safe driving around and walking around your property, because even though the power is out in many places, it might not be out with live wires down. You never really know. Also, trees might be in a very fragile state where simply touching them can make more of it come down. Unless you're an expert, please don't tempt fate. Just be very cautious of what you're doing. If you don't have to be outside driving around, then maybe it's best if you do something else while the mess gets cleaned up, because it's still a big mess out there. It's got a lot more to go. Should I take another phone call, Kyle?
Yeah, sure.
Let's do that then. And good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
You are three?
Hi, yes. You're on the air. Where are you calling from?
Man, I'm on the Patrick. I'm on the shore of the bay.
Okay.
I'm on the shore of the bay after the hurricane.
What town is that?
I'm in Patrick.
Patrick. Okay, South Shore. So tell us how badly you got hit.
South Shore of Patrick. It's bad over here. There's still coastal flooding. I mean, you guys have been leaving that out on the radio show all day.
Uh-huh.
It's bad over here, man. Real bad, bro.
I can imagine. You have no power, right?
No power. The flooding goes up at least, you know, 2 blocks from the bay. It's real bad.
Wow. So how are you getting through it?
People are using canoes and kayaks to get around.
Like Main Street Patchogue? Is it flooded in the main streets?
No, it doesn't go to Main Street. It goes towards the Banshell area. It's coastal flooding. It's close to the coast, but it's so bad.
Is anything open down there?
Yeah, there's a few bodegas open, and there's 7-Eleven on Main Street.
Okay, that's good to know. And pretty much nobody has power down there, right?
Yep.
Okay. Wow.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to let you guys know if you guys want to make an announcement or whatever.
Yeah, well, you just did, and thanks for updating people, and hang in there.
All right, thanks, man.
All right, take care.
All right, bye.
Well, you know, I got to say, I'm impressed by you know, how strong people are as far as sticking this kind of thing out. We've seen it before, right, Finn?
Oh, yeah. It's a wonderful thing when people get together in this kind of situation. And as we were discussing before, as the caller a little earlier was alluding to, all the way out, I'm talking about in Queens, that's mm-hmm. the city of New York, kids.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone did 4-way stops where there were lights and... all of our neighbors were helping each other out, pulling some tree limbs off of cars, a whole bunch of things. It's amazing sometimes what it takes to get people to be nice to each other.
Yeah, and you know, if you know people who do need help, who might be trapped in their homes or scared or not knowing what's going on, and you can't reach them, check in, visit, make sure everyone that you know of is okay. And that does make a world of difference, because, you know, it's something that affects people in different ways. And, you know, I love it. I love crazy weather. You all know that. But some people are very traumatically affected by this sort of thing. And when you have trees falling down and crashing through roofs and massive flooding and all kinds of outages and things like that, we all react in different ways. So it's really good to check in and make sure that people are getting through it okay, and to lend a hand wherever possible, whether it's moving a tree or helping someone get their car started, or just getting food to somebody that might have somehow run out. That's something you can always do.
And if you need help yourself, don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to ask a neighbor, because as I have to tell you from my experience, if you ask, people come.
Absolutely. You know what? We've pretty much filled the hour, and Finn, you're up next. What are you going to be doing for your 2 hours?
It's going to be a hurricane special, baby.
Wow.
Nothing but hurricane music.
But you've been planning this for 6 months, this hurricane special.
That's right.
You have amazing luck with planning these things out.
It is. It's been on the schedule for years.
He's been talking about this nonstop. I'll be glad when you're finally done with it.
Serendipity, as we mentioned last week.
All right, so that's coming up at 7 o'clock. And please continue to give us a call if you need information or just need to hear a friendly voice or just have questions of any sort. 631-632-6901 is our telephone number. Kyle, any last words from Seattle?
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to echo your sentiments about, you know, it's good to stay in when it's really dangerous, but don't be holed up. You know, definitely go out, check things out. Check on your neighbors, get some good food, and definitely, you know, remain calm, you know. Take some nice, deep breaths.
That's
relax a little bit. And That's a very good point. Things will get back to normal. I'm sure there's a lot of really good people working on it.
That's a very good point, Kyle, because what we have to remember is that what is going on right now is something that so many people are experiencing all at the same time. You are not alone. You're with a massive amount of the entire eastern seaboard of the United States and probably Canada, too. This is something we're going to remember for the rest of our lives. Even if you're 2 years old, you're going to remember this for the rest of your life. It's a phenomenal event, and just talk to your friends, talk to people that the total strangers. Just know that you're experiencing history, and you're going to be okay. And USB is going to be around to help out. Other voices will be there for you as well. And hey, we'll see you next week, and we'll update you. I probably still won't have power then. We'll see. But it's great just to know that people are out there and their support, and we're going to get through this. Kyle, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yes, absolutely. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
No problem.
Bye, Kyle.
And, bye, Finn.
And Finn, thank you for being here, as always.
Always my pleasure.
All right. And
be safe.
We're going to go out with something. You know, first, let me get out of delay first. Oh, that's so much better. There really is a difference in voice quality. But we're going to go out with something that I don't know if anyone has played. I'm sure people have played this song. All about Sandy. When I was growing up, this was a big song. So let's enjoy.
Sandy, the fireworks are hailing over Little Eden tonight, forcing a light into all those stony faces left stranded on this warm July. Down in time, the circuits fall a switchblade lovers, so fast, so shiny, and so sharp. As the wizards play down on Pinball Way, on the boardwalk way past dark, and the boys from the casino dance with their shirts open like Latin lovers on the shore, chasing all them silly New York virgins by the score. Tramp the streets or get busted for sleeping on the beach all night. Them boys in their high heels, ah, Sandy, their skins are so white. And me, I just got tired of hanging in them dusty arcades, banging them pleasure machines, chasing the factory girls underneath the boardwalk, where they all promised to unsnap her jeans. And you know that tilt-a-whirl down on the South Beach drag, I got on it last night and my shirt got caught, and it kept me spinning. Didn't think I'd ever get off. I remember saying
That waitress I was seeing lost her desire for me. I spoke with her last night. She said she won't set herself on fire for me anymore. She worked that joint under the boardwalk. She was always a girl you saw bopping down the beach with the radio. The kids say last night she was dressed like a star in one of them cheap little seaside bars. And I saw her parked with Lover Boy out on the Kokomo. Did you hear the cops finally busted Madame Marie for telling fortunes better than they do? For me, this boardwalk life's through, babe. You oughta quit this scene too.